For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
This is the fourth class of the Davening with Meaning, and the topic tonight is the bracha that is known by the term Kedushas Hashem, the sanctity of the name. It's the third bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei, and it is very short. It might be the shortest, probably is the shortest bracha in all of Shemoneh Esrei. I didn't ever count it. It's certainly one of the shortest. And it just says the following words, Ata Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh. You are holy, and your name is holy. Ukedoshim, it's on page 102 in the Siddur. Ukedoshim b'chol yom yahalu chasela, and holy ones praise you every day, forever. Baruch ata Hashem hakel hakadosh. Blessed are you, Hashem, the holy God. Hakel hakadosh. You have it? It's at the very top of 102. Now I say it's the shortest bracha, but of course, we may not realize this, Kedusha that we say in the repetition is a portion of this bracha in the repetition. Okay, so what I mean by we may not realize it is that we may think of Kedusha as a separate thing. It's not really a separate thing. It's the form of this bracha that exists in the repetition. Okay, it's a responsive. And the evidence that I'm right about that is that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it appears well into the third bracha. Third bracha has some opening paragraphs and all kinds of things. So it fits in the middle of what becomes a very long third bracha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So tonight we're going to discuss this third bracha, but we're also, at least at the end, we're going to come to the discussion of the Kedusha that we say as part of the repetition. You may recall that we quoted a Gemara, a passage in the Talmud in Megillah that said that all of the brachos are organized. They were organized by the men of the Great Assembly based on hints and things that they learned from the verses in the Torah or in the Tanakh. And we said that the beginning, the first bracha, was corresponding to the words of King David, "Havu LaHashem b'nei elim," call out to God, you children of the great ones, the strong ones. And that is reminiscent of the fathers. Then it said, Havu LaHashem b'neilim, Havu LaHashem kavod va'oz, honor and strength, and that's the bracha, that second one. The third clause in that verse in Tehillim is, Havu LaHashem, call out to God, kavod shimo, in the honor of his name. So right here, we have, in this bracha, the third word is vishimcha. Ata kadosh, you are holy, v'shimcha kadosh, and your name is holy. And it begs a question right from the get-go, which I'm not going to answer immediately. What is this idea of you and your name? You and your name, what is this name? That, if you already say God is holy, what do you add? His name is holy. And this notion of name comes up often. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Lombard. Blessed is the name, the holy, the honored name. Yisgadal v'yisgadash Shemei Rabba. May God be elevated. But again, Shemei Rabba means the great name. What is this obsession with the name? And it finds its first source, as I said, in certain sense, in that paragraph in Psalms, Kivod Shemo, the honor of his name. And here it is expressed right here.
Isn't it meant to just inspire awe? Just his name should inspire awe?
I think certainly that's true. And I'm going to add to that something element. So we have this source that this bracha corresponds, the Talmud says, to this clause, call out to God in the sanctity of his name. We also mentioned that the first bracha corresponds to Avraham, because Avraham is the one who crowned Hashem over the world. And the first bracha describes him as the ruler over the world. The second bracha corresponds to Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is the one who offered himself on the altar. And when we describe God as the one who resuscitates the dead, then the prime example of that is Yitzchak. And Yaakov, our forefather Jacob, is corresponding to this short bracha. But what does that mean? What does that mean that Yaakov is corresponding to this bracha? Come back to the answer to that question also. And the last thing that we said, in corresponding of all these brachas, is that the first blessing corresponds to the book of Bereshit, the book of Genesis, that describes Hashem as the creator, and so does the first bracha. The second bracha describes Hashem as strong, and that corresponds to the book of Shemos, Exodus, which shows God's miraculous strength, what he's capable of doing in the Exodus, story of the Exodus. This third bracha, we're taught, corresponds to Vayikra. Well, that's really esoteric, because Vayikra is that almost narrative-free a book of the Torah that describes essentially its entire essence is about offerings on the altar, about korbanos, about what we call, but some refer to as sacrifices. So, what does that have to do with this third bracha? So, we'll see if we can't put this whole thing together. In introduction to answering these questions, I want to suggest something that I haven't read, but I believe is definitely true. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, Code of Jewish Law, very close to the beginning, in Siman Hey, chapter 5, it says that this chapter, which only has one statement in it, is called Kavanas HaBrachos, the intent one is supposed to have when saying a blessing. It says like this, Yechavein babrachos perush hamilos. A person should have intent when he says a blessing, any blessing, the meaning of the words. That's logical enough. But then it says something much deeper. Kesheyazkir Hashem, when you mention God's name, which is written Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, but is pronounced Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You can, for the purpose of teaching, you can always say the name when you have to express it. So when you say God's name, Yechavein, you should have the following thought intent. Perush Kriyaso, Be'adnus, the meaning of how it's read regarding Adanut, meaning being the master. The word Adonai means my master. In fact, in the Parsha Vayera, Avraham uses the word Adonai, and Rashi says he doesn't know whether he's talking to Hashem or to the people who were there, my masters. Okay, so the pronunciation, as we say it, evokes master. Shehu Adon Hakol, that he's the master of it all. V'yichavein, and whenever you say God's name, you should also intend b'chesivaso, the way it's written. B'yud-hei, the way it's written in these four letters. Now, yud-hei, followed by vav-hei, is never pronounced by us. But it evokes several other words. Because it has the yud of future tense, the vav of present tense, and the hei, the two heis, of past tense. Haya, hove, and yihyeh. So when you see it, the way it's written, you have intent, Shehaya, that he was, Vehova, and he is, Vehiyah, and he will be. So every time a person says the name of Hashem, he's supposed to have intent that this, he's the master of everything, and he's eternal, before everything and after everything. Why is the word Nai and not Ni?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
I didn't understand the question.
Why the word... If you say the word Adonai, yeah. Okay, it means my masters. Okay, so why is it that the sages did not tell us to pronounce it as Adoni, my master? The best I can answer that, I think, is in order to differentiate between Adoni, my master, and calling God's name. But I think there deserves a better answer than that. I don't know.
I think it also makes sense what you're saying, because Adoni, it could be a human being also.
Right, maybe. Adoni is a mundane term.
Yeah.
There's an element here, but I still think there's something deeper going on. Yeah. It's an excellent question. So you have this massive intent. Like we say 100 brachas a day. You're supposed to have this intent every time you say Hashem's name. Master of it all, was, is, and will be. Hard to have that intent, but that's what people are doing when they're davening a long time. Like I said, there's a good reason to daven Shemoneh Esrei a long time. Now, and when you, V'hazkiro continues the Shulchan Aruch, and when you mention Elohim, God's name, as Elokeinu, or whatever it is, in a bracha, our God, Yechavein, have this intent. Shehu Takif, that he's powerful. Baal HaYecholas, the master of capabilities. Uval HaKochos Kulam, and he has all the powers that exist. In other words, there is no power outside of Hashem. There is no capability. There is no master. There is no a talent that isn't within Hashem and given by Hashem, and everything is from Hashem. There's nothing he can't do, and there's nothing that can be done that isn't done by him. He's the Baal HaKochos Kulam. He has all the power. So this is the Shulchan Aruch in the in the intent of every time you say Hashem and Elokeinu. Again, to review, Hashem means master, was, is, and will be. Elokeinu means capable, fully capable, all capable. Everybody got that picture? If you fast forward here in the Shulchan Aruch to the laws of Shema, and you find in chapter 61 of the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in front of you, it's only in front of me, it says as follows. It says that when you say the Shema, you should elongate the Chet in the word Echad. Mm-hmm. And that you should elongate the Dalet. Okay? I want to tell you that a lot of people don't do it correctly, but that's not really our topic for now, how to do that. But it's, whatever it is, it means to elongate the sound of the Chet and to elongate the sound of the Dalet. So Echad, you think more things going on here in Echad. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose? The purpose of elongating the Chet is that God, you're supposed to crown God over the heavens and the earth. Why does a chet allude to that? Because a chet equals 8. And since there are 7 heavens, the concept of 7th heaven, that's ours. Okay? So since there are 7 levels of heaven, whatever that means, and there's this world, so you're, as it were, you're thinking that God is the ruler over all of the planes of the world. The Dalet you elongate to say that he's the God over all of the horizontal directions. In other words, the 8 is the up and the down, and the Dalet is the side to side. Hashem is the ruler over it all. But the word itself means one. So what you're saying is all that exists in this world, any place, any rulership, it all is God. There's a unity of Hashem. And by the way, that's a separate mitzvah itself, to crown God unified, that he's the whole reality. I know I'm saying very deep ideas. This means that when one says Shema, one is supposed to have the following intent. Shema Yisrael, hear, internalize, individually, Yisrael as a member of the Jewish people. Hashem means master of everything, was, is, and will be. Elokeinu, totally capable. The God means that he's all-powerful. Hashem, was, is, and will be, master of it all. Echad is singular in the 8 spheres of the heaven and earth, and in all four corners of the world. That's a mouthful in one sentence. Perfect sentence. National anthem of the Jewish people. Perfect sentence. So now, I would like to suggest that this exact notion of what's said in the Shema is mirrored in the Shemoneh Esrei. In the first of the brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei, we're saying, was, is, and will be master of it all. We're describing Hashem as the creator. And remember, we talked about how the first bracha spans from creation till the coming of the Mashiach. Maybe Goel Livnei V'Nehem, he brings a redeemer for his children for, you know, in the future. So there's this span of forever, was, is, and will be. Master of it all is the whole purpose of what we're saying there when we say Kone Hakol, that he acquired it all by virtue of creating it all. Then we say in the second bracha, that he's capable of everything. That Hashem is the one who will resuscitate the dead. So we're describing him as kol yachal, as completely capable. That's corresponding to Hashem Elokeinu. The word Elokeinu is being elaborated in the second bracha. the nuanced point here that applies to our topic tonight is that if I'm right, then what's being expressed here is the Echad in the third bracha. The Echad means that there is total unity to this unbelievable being that we've described. Remember, this is all part of Shevach. This is all part of praise. When you accept upon yourself the sovereignty of God by the Shema, doesn't stand to reason that you, again, when you're saying the Shemona Esrei and you're praising God, you're alluding to those same themes. That He's the one. And that in Him being the one who's capable of X, Y, Z all the way through, it isn't many sources. It's all a unified reality of Hashem. Very hard concept for human minds to grasp, that there are no borders, there is no division of things, it's all oneness. As we said, almost impossible to grasp this, that we exist within Hashem. Because if you say we don't exist within Hashem, then He ends someplace. And that's heresy. That's why He's called the place, Amakom. So this last bracha is this notion of, this last bracha of the opening paragraphs is Echad, God is one. And that's why it says, Ata Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh. You are holy, and your name is holy. Now we have to understand what you and your name means. Okay. Any questions so far? Because I know I'm like really up in the, you know, there's little oxygen up here. I know about that. Okay. But it's, I think it's worthwhile, because I think we'll be able to bring it to practical reality.
So why do we repeat the Kadosh
Blessing? Okay. You mean, why doesn't it say Ata Vishimcha Kadosh? Very good. Good question. Very good question. So there's a source to this verse. Okay, the source of this verse has to be this prayer must be a verse. What's the verse? The verse is a very well-known verse in Zechariah. Now, in case you haven't recently learned the book of Zechariah, okay, which is one of the 12 prophets, I promise you know this verse. Okay? The verse is at the end of Aleinu. Okay? It says, V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. And God will be king over the whole world. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. Bayom ha'hu, on that day, yiyah Hashem echad, u'shmo echad. Hashem will be one, and His name will be one. What does that mean? You say it in Aleinu, it's the last line of Aleinu, it's a very famous song, right? B'nemar, etc. Mm-hmm. So I told you, you know this, even though you haven't learned, maybe you did learn the book of Zechariah recently, what do I know? but in case you haven't. Okay? So, this verse, which comes from Zechariah 14th chapter, okay, ninth pasuk, what is meant that on that day when God redeems the whole world, in the time of Mashiach, yiyah Hashem echad u'shmo echad, God will be one and His name will be one. Why doesn't it say there, Hashem u'shmo echad? Because until that day, the perception of man is that he doesn't know that Hashem is echad and His name is echad. What does that mean? That means as follows. A name expresses the very essence of something. Talmud says this in many places, including the Megillah and Brachos. Says, Shma Kagaram, a name causes your reality, and it expresses your whole reality. There can be, the very reality of this person is Ariel Ranan ben Chana Rivka. That's the very reality, the beginning and end of this person sitting here. That's my name. And for this reason, the Medrash says in Shemos Rabbah that when Moshe asked Hashem, what is your name? They'll ask me, what is your name? What will I tell them? Hashem said, I will be what I will be. We learned about that a little bit already. And when He said, I will be as I will be, the Medrash says what God was responding was, I cannot fit into one name. A name is too limiting for me. The reality of who I am sometimes will be expressed as Hashem, sometimes will be expressed as Elohim, sometimes will be expressed as Shaddai, sometimes will be expressed as Hamakom, sometimes will be expressed as Hashem Tzvaot.
How many total names do you have?
It's impossible to know. There are names we don't even know.
Is it 13?
No.
It's unlimited. It has to be unlimited. Wow. The moment you limit it, you've limited everything. Right? We don't know all of them. Shalom is the name of Hashem. Right? We don't know. But He's saying to us, sometimes I'll be expressed like this, sometimes I'll be expressed like that, sometimes I'll be expressed like, but my name, the real essence of who I am, that's beyond your scope, that's beyond your capability to know. You can be limited to Yaakov ben Yitzchak. That's your whole story. Right? I could be limited to whatever my name is. You could be limited to Manas Zev. Ben Yeruchim Fishel.
Okay. But he's good. Two names.
Not bad. Okay. So you could be limited. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Holy and Blessed Be He, there's another name. Ribono Shel Olam. He can't be limited.
We cannot define him in one entity.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Even if we can't define him because he can't be defined.
Yeah, he cannot.
It's impossible. That limits. And there's no limits by Hashem. So Shimcha, your name, means your essence. Just like it means by us, your essence. Ata, you. Or as is the case in the Pasuk in Zechariah, Bayomo Yehashem Echad Ushmachad, Adonai Echad Ushmachad, right? When it says that, that's not his essence, that Ata. That's how we perceive him. Now, we do not have a really clear perception. We're limited. But in reality, how we perceive him and what he is actually a unified concept. There is a unity that brings together the unbelievably merciful God and the one who wages war against the enemy. There is a unity that brings together the God of judgment and the God of compassion. There is a unity that brings it all together, all within Hashem. It's beyond the perception of me and you. But when we talk about the Kiddushas Hashem, the sanctity of the name, and we say Atah Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh, what we're saying is really every individual way that we perceive you is actually part of this oneness, which is Shimcha. And on that great day, when Mashiach comes, we will be able to identify it. On that day, Yiyah Hashem Echad Ushmachad. And that's what it will be.
Every day, V'atah Kadosh. We don't say V'haya Bayomahu.
Right, because we're expressing the truth. The truth is that it's unified. But you and I don't get it. We don't see it. So Chazal gave it to us to say it in this form. What we're saying here is, again, remember what I said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. It's the end of this Echad notion. It all comes together here. Okay? I know we can't perceive it. Let me illustrate this point a little bit more. There's a Mishnah in Brachos. Now it escapes me which chapter it's in. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos that says that upon good news, one says a bracha, and upon bad news, one says a bracha. Upon good news, the bracha is Hatov v'hametiv. God, you are good, and you do good. Upon bad news, the bracha is Dayan Hames, the true judge. Right. However, the sages tell us that la'asid lavo, in the future, when Mashiach comes, on everything we'll say Hatov v'hametiv. On everything we'll say, you are good, and you do good.
Because there won't be any bad news.
Maybe.
Or we just understand what's bad. What we perceive as bad today, we'll understand its implications and it will no longer seem bad to us.
Okay, let me explain. There's a major theological problem with the notion of upon bad news, you should say a bracha, Dayan HaEmes. For example, it's said when we lose a relative. Lo Aleinu. So there's a major theological problem with that, which is that the Talmud says that a person should always say Gamzu L'tova, everything is for the good. A person should always say Kol Ma'ida Avid Rachmana L'Tavavid, whatever God does is for the good. So which things are we supposed to perceive as bad news in order to say on the them the bracha about bad news?
But Baruch Dayanemes doesn't negate anything. It doesn't. It's not really a negative. It's just blessing Hashem for being the true Dayan, the true judge.
You're right. It's a beautiful point. It is an acknowledgement that it isn't bad. It's an acknowledgement that it isn't bad. But the whole message upon bad news, say, if I'm wearing the right glasses, I never see bad news. If I'm wearing true Torah glasses, I never see bad news. So when am I supposed to say that? This is good and this is good and this is good and this is good. You're saying that what we're responding to is an acknowledgement that it isn't bad. But the Talmud says, on bad news, say this to acknowledge that it isn't bad. When am I supposed to see it as bad? It's a major theological problem.
Does that mean you can't say Baruch Dayan Emes and a good thing?
No.
It does mean that, because it says, on bad news, say that. So it has to mean that there's bad news. Here's the answer. The answer is that so long as Mashiach has not yet come, there are things that we can easily identify as bad news. But we're supposed to say about them that they are litova, they are for the good. It's bad, it's sad, it's heartbreaking, but there's no doubt that it's for the right reasons. Hashem has got plans. If we had a higher level of perception, we would not even be able to tell the difference between good and bad news. Oh man, I have so much to say about this topic. We're so far away from the Siddur. But let me tell you something. This is actually one of the themes of Purim. That on Purim, you're supposed to get so drunk that you don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. You know why? Because there is no difference. Haman also had a role to play so that Klal Yisrael would do tshuva, so that Hashem would do the miracles for them. That was also good news. So there is nothing to say. It's good news. But we're not cognizant. We don't fly on that plane. We will eventually. When we do, we'll only see the good. Now we see the bad that is for the good. Now we see the bad that is for the good. Okay? Thoughts? Not to be uttered.
Yeah. Hard to digest that. You're
blowing your mind.
Okay. So now, that's what it means. Bayoma hui Hashem echarish mo'achar. On that day, all that happens, all the expressions, and all the reality will be one. In this little bracha of Shemona Esrei, in these four words, we have to talk about four words. In these four words, we're saying, Ata kadosh v'shimcha kadosh. You are holy, meaning how we perceive you. It's all unified. V'shimcha kadosh. And your essence is holy. It's all unified. Now, what does the word kadosh mean? What does holy mean? Holy essentially means separated, mufrash. Okay, it means to be different. Hashem is different. Oh, I gotta tell you something. I once heard from a teacher who was visiting from Israel, Rabbi Ari Khan from Eishet Torah. He once said, "How do you finish the sentence Hashem is blank?" The moment you add any other word, you limit him to that word. So he said, the only word that you can say after Hashem is period. He says, there's nothing more you can say. It's just Hashem is. Now, anything else is limiting. But I would say that maybe, if there is a word we could say, we could say different. Not like me and you. In other words, kadosh. Kadosh means separated. Kadosh means, even like when it says kadoshim to you, the Torah commands us to be holy. So Rashi says that you should be prushim. You should be separate. That's where they got the Pharisees, who were the great defenders of the Jewish people against the heresy of the Sadducees 2,000 years ago. They were called the Prushim. Pharisees is just an Englishized version of the word Prushim, separate. Because now we have a real big question, which is, how do you deal with the fifth word here? Ata kadosh v'shimcha kadosh, you are holy, and your name is holy. Ukedoshim, and the holy ones. Every day they should praise you. What are kedoshim? Well, kedoshim also must mean separate. Well, there's two entities in this world that can be described as separate. And they're the ones who praise Hashem every day. The angels and Yisrael, the Jewish people. We are, so to speak, the oil in the mixture of water and oil. Did we speak about that here recently? Oh, on the Hanukkah night shiur, we spoke about that. Okay, now I can't get into that whole thing right now. But we are not a woven in. And by the way, the Gentiles will tell you if you don't act like it, they'll remind you. Okay, that's how it goes. Yisrael does not slip right into the fabric of its host nations. It's impossible. Yisrael's separate. Jewish people separate. We have a different vocation, a different mission. So when it says kedoshim b'chol yom, yahaluchasala, on every day the kedoshim will praise you. The angels are separate, holy, sanctified, and we are separate, holy, sanctified. And by the way, wherever you find the word kedusha, it applies to this. You know, a marriage is called Kiddushin. Mm-hmm. And the language of the Mishnah, Ha'ish Mekadesh, a man sanctifies the woman. Ha're'at Mekudeshesli, you are betrothed, this is how it's translated in English. But the word Mekudeshes has at its root Kiddush, Kadosh, Kiddusha.
What about Kadesh?
Same thing. It's describing the sanctity of Hashem. Total separateness. Right? So when the man says to the woman, Hareat Mekudeshesli, what he's saying is, Hareat Mufreshetli, you are separated from this mass called the female world that could be bonded to anything, and you're singularly separated to be in this union. And that's the reality of what's going on there. That's Mekudeshes. That's sanctified. So, Kedosha means Yisrael, the Jewish people, and the angels. And that leads us to Kedusha. Because the words of Kedusha are all about the angels and Klal Yisrael. Before I get there, though, I have to tell you that we didn't answer the earliest questions, which were, what does that have to do with Yaakov, and what does that have to do with Vayikra? Well, Yaakov is also the one who is unified. Avraham and Yitzchak. We see two ways that they're not, quote, unified. Avraham represents kindness, and Yitzchak represents judgment. We said before that recognizing Hashem as unified means that you recognize that the very same source that judges the world is the very same source that is compassionate to the world. The very same source that births is the same source that brings about the end of life. It's unified. Kindness, unchecked, leads to a world of anarchy. There cannot be constant kindness. Constant kindness, unchecked, unbalanced, is a disaster. This is what the Talmud, this is what the verse says in Proverbs. Chosech shivto sone esbino. Somebody who holds back his punishment rod hates his son. It's all kindness. It's all kindness. Whatever you do is fine. No problem. Everything's good. What happens to that child if everything's good? It's a disaster, right? It's a disaster. So Avram Avinu was kindness. Total kindness. Yitzchak Avinu was total discipline. He was total the rule of law. What Hashem really is this mixture of the rule of law and compassion. That is expressed in Yaakov Avinu's character, which is called Tiferes, splendor. Splendor, Tiferes, is a mixture. It's a balanced weave of love and compassion on the one hand, and discipline on the other. You know, if the world would be only discipline, every single second, the world would cease to exist. Because it wouldn't have the merit to exist. We would do something wrong, off with our head, that's it, you're out. Game over. Right? So how long would it be last? It would be mazel tov on the bar mitzvah, you're out. It would be. Right? So that can't be. And yet if it was all compassion, it's total anarchy. You know, this is the political war of all time. Right? How much compassion versus how much rule of law? That's the war of political parties, that's the war of governments, that's the war of parents, you know, mom versus dad, dad versus mom, whatever it is, that's the war. Finding this balance is the secret. That's what Hashem found, and Yaakov is the embodiment of that balance, Tiferes. That's really Yichud. That's really unity. It's really unity together. How's it expressed in Yaakov? Remember that Yaakov put around his head 12 stones when he went down to sleep. So it says that he placed stones around his head. And then when he got up, it says he took the stone. So Rashi says, why did he take the stone? What's the stone? He put down stones. So it says he put down 12 stones, representing his tribes. And each of the stones said, upon me should the righteous man lay his head. And in the merit of each of them wanting that, Hashem combined them to one stone. That's again, 12 disparate things unified. Keep this in mind. Avram Avinu had two sons. One of them was discarded, Ishmael. Yitzchak had two sons. One of them was discarded, Esav. That means that there was negativity in the progeny of this, in the offspring of this Midah, of this character. But Yaakov had 12 sons, and they formed Klal Yisrael. There's a unity. Okay? So this is all together. Now, and in Vayikra, by the way, I'll just add one other thing, which is Mashiach will come only when that unity is achieved. It says, Vayihi Bishurun Melech, when will there be a king in Jeshurun? V'his Asef Rosh Ha'am, when the heads of nations, the heads of the nation come together. Okay, unity is a prerequisite for Mashiach if we are to earn it ourselves. Vayikra is, again, a unified notion of serving Hashem with the physical, as we'll further explain in the description of Kedusha. So now we're on to Kedusha. Kedusha says, in the weekday Kedusha, Nikadesh Hashem Chava Olam, we will sanctify your name in the world. Kishem Shemakdishim Oso Bishmei Marom, just as they sanctify it in the heavenly abode, in the high heaven. So now, do you see that there's two groups here that are sanctifying? Nikadesh Yisrael, we will, that's Klal Yisrael, just as they sanctify you in the heavens. That's the angels. We spoke about both of those groups already. Kakosu v'yad v'yecha, as is written by the hand of your prophet, the Karazel Zav'amar, each angel will call to one another and say, and then it quotes a verse in Yeshaya, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Chapter 6? Let me think about that. Chapter
6.
Thank you. Okay. So, there, the prophet Isaiah tells us what he saw in the heavens. So we learn from there how we're supposed to do it here. There in the heavens, when they praise Hashem, they say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy is Hashem. Right? The whole world is filled with His sanctity. It's a quotation from a verse in Isaiah, which is describing what's going on in the heavenly place. So it's the perfect choice of words of how what we're supposed to do. We're borrowing there. We have that picture. We've been given that picture. Then it says, "L'umasam baruch yomeru." Those facing them respond with baruch, with blessed. We talked about how blessed means that God is the source of good. And we say, baruch kivod Hashem imekomo. Blessed is the glory of Hashem from His place. This is a quotation from another place in the book of Yechezkel, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 3, where it says that this is what's happening in the heavens. That they respond and say, baruch kivod Hashem imekomo. So we take these two descriptions by the prophets, who gave us a hint. They told us. They were you know, describing the goings-on, play by play. And so we used their descriptions, and we sanctify Hashem. Okay. That's the simple meaning here. That's the simple thing that's going on here. Remember that this term is, we're talking about sanctifying, okay? Now, in the book of the laws of Yesodei HaTorah, the laws of the foundations of Torah, written by Maimonides, it says, Chapter 5 says that every Jewish person is obligated to sanctify God's name. And then it goes through a lengthy description of what that means. The classical paradigm of sanctifying God's name is willingness to take a bullet rather than transgress one of the three cardinal prohibitions. Which are... Okay, translated means murder, idolatry, and forbidden sexual relations. Adultery and incest, basically. So now, it describes these things and it goes through the laws of what happens if the Gentiles, you know, force you, and what happens if they're trying to destroy Yiddishkeit, then the rules are even more stringent, etc. After all that, in Halacha number 9, Tes, in Yud, 10, it says like this: anyone who transgresses a prohibition out of his own volition, not because he's forced, on any prohibition of the Torah, does it with purpose in order to anger, meaning to rebel, Hareza mechalel es Hashem. This man has created, or woman, has created a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. That means you don't have to have other people seeing you. In that spot, you're saying, God, get out of here, I'm in charge. That is emptying the world of Hashem's presence. If he does it in public, then it's a public desecration.
Could you just repeat a little about the intent? I mean, in other words, it's with intention.
It says, right. In other words, it's not only like out of temptation, right? Mm-hmm. That temptation, then that's why there's a different cause. Okay. Now he says like this, and so anyone who's poresh me'avera, separates himself from doing something wrong, owe us a mitzvah, or performs a mitzvah, not because of some outside force, not because of fear or because of trepidation, not in order to derive honor, rather because of the Creator, blessed be He. Like when Yosef held himself back from his master's wife. Hareza mekadesh es Hashem. This person is sanctifying God's name. That means that it is possible for a human being to sanctify God's name under all conditions, even in private. We understood it to mean, like our camp counselor said, we're going to the Bronx Zoo, so therefore you should behave nicely, and it'll be the Kiddush Hashem, right? Or we're going on a school bus, and they said like that, you know, you're not only, you know, the burden of being 4 years old. You don't only represent yourself, you represent your family, and the Gantz Klal Yisrael, right? Right? So, but really it means any action that a person does that testifies that Hashem rules the world by staying away from something wrong or by doing something good, Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, bringing Hashem into the world. It's profound. It's fantastic. That is what we're doing. But what's the word, by the way? Mekadesh es Hashem. Sanctifying. Mm-hmm. Sanctity. Stating there is a Creator. He gave us a Torah. I'm following the rules. Manas, go ahead.
Before you said that, if you're doing an Avera, you're basically saying to Hashem, I'm in charge, you're not in the world.
Right.
But I think it's the opposite. I think Hashem, we all know Hashem is the world. So therefore, it's not that we're condemning Him to leave the world, but rather we're taking ourselves out of it. And it might be a fine point, but I think it bears...
I think you're right that we... let me say this. I think you are correct that we are taking ourselves out of it.
Right.
But I don't think that that's the perception that we have when we're doing it. I think the perception that we have when we're doing it is...
Yeah. That we're in charge.
I'm in charge.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Yeah, yeah.
No?
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
So now, what are we doing when we say... Go ahead, please.
Let me follow up. Before we talked about the meaning of kadosh is separation.
Right.
So when we're saying kadosh, we're not separating ourselves from Hashem. We're not separating Hashem from us. What sanctifying is what your word is now, but where is the separation?
What I mean by separation is we are describing a completely different, lofty, totally incomparable being called Hashem. That's what I mean by separation.
Yeah.
I don't mean distance. I mean expression of specialness.
Okay?
So now, we have the capability of sanctifying Kedusha every second. And when we live up to that, we're doing it. That's very big. That means that that's so big. You realize that no beast in the world and no rock or wind can do that. The lion never has an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. He follows his temptations. You'll never meet a lion who says, I was hungry, I saw an antelope passing, but it was a fast day. He follows his temptations. They don't say...
Well, God didn't ask him to do that either.
I don't know where God doesn't ask him to, because he's incapable, right? The whole deal is that way. The lion never says... it's procreation season, and I have this urge, but you know, I'm not married, or whatever it is. He doesn't say that. He's incapable of that. The wind never does that. And by the way, the angels never do that. The angels are incapable of doing something different than their basic programming, which is to do the will of Hashem. So some have the will of Hashem to do physical things. Some have the will of Hashem to do spiritual things. Only man exists with the capability of lowering himself to be completely physical or lifting himself up to be spiritual. And that's what our task is. That's the whole definition of man. Now this, what I'm about to tell you, is the best thing we're going to say tonight. Remember we said that a name expresses your essence? Okay. The word for man, for mankind, is Adam. Adam, if I would ask almost anybody, not worth looking it up in, what's the source of the word Adam? What's the root of the word Adam? Adama. Okay? It says in the book of Bereshit that man was taken and formed from the dust of the earth. And so he's called Adam. Not the best name, really. Think about it. Is man not more profound than being dusty? Right? Okay, but is that his whole essence? That's true. But is that
the essence
of what a man is? Says the Shlach HaKadosh, Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz. And he might be quoting it from an earlier source, but I saw it in the Shlach. The word Adama, Aleph Dalet Mem He, can be re-vowelized. You take out the vowels, and you can change the vowels, same letters, to a word that's found in the book of Yeshaya, in the book of Isaiah, which is Adameh, not Adama, Adameh. And the verse says in the book of Yeshaya, Adameh la'elyon. I will be similar to the high one, to the lofty one. Man's essence, Adam, is that he is built into this moment of either being Adama, the ground, nothing, physical, corporeal, material, or Adama le'elyon. Or lofty. This is what the Gemara means in Chagiga when it says that man is similar to a beast in certain ways and he's similar to an angel in certain ways. And our choices dictate whether we live up to that angelic quality or we live down, so to speak, to that material quality. And when we make big decisions and we serve Hashem properly, we overcome our temptations, we are the biggest Kiddush Hashem possible. This, by the way, is why the Ramban, Nachmanides, says that it is the act of physical intimacy when carried out in the proper form that is Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies. When man is engaged in the physical in a spiritual form, that's not when he's being an angel. When he's taking his reality, which is manness, mankind, and lifting it up to serve Hashem, highest possible thing that exists. So Adam, we spend our whole lives thinking Adam is from Adama. Mm-hmm. Says the Shla, it's from Adama and Adameh. And you have to make a choice. So your whole essence is found in this word. Are you going to be like the ground or are you going to be like Hashem? Like the lofty ones. So with this, we're going to explain basically the last thing of the night, which is why is the Kedusha different on Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos Musaf, than it is the rest of the week? Okay, in the rest of the week, we just read the Kedusha. That's the whole Kedusha, basically. But on Shabbos, on page 466, probably. Nope, on 464. On page 464, yeah, but I'm not going to go into that. It's the same thing exactly. I want you to know. Jackie said Keter, which is the opening word of the Sephardic version of this. It's exactly the same. If you read it, it'll make the same exact sense what I'm saying. So we start with the word Na'aritzcha. I'm just going to read the English for clarity. We will revere you and sanctify you according to the counsel of the Holy Seraphim, who sanctify your name in the sanctuary as it is written by your prophet, and one will call another and say, Holy, holy, holy is Hashem, Master of Legions, the whole world is filled with His glory. This is the same as the weekday. It's a little bit more descript. That up in the heavens, the seraphim, that's a high angel category, they're doing this. So we're going to do this too. His glory fills the world. It's just a little bit more elaborate. His glory fills the world. His ministering angels ask one another, where is the place of His glory? Those facing them say, blessed. Blessed is the glory of Hashem from His place. This part is basically the same as the Kedusha of the weekdays. It's just a little bit more elaborated upon. But then there's a new part. There's a third response. And it says like this. From His place, Mimikomo, may He turn His compassion, Uyifan Barachamim, and be gracious to the people who declare the oneness of his name. V'yachon am hamiyachadim shemo. Erev avogar b'chol yom tamid. Every day constantly twice. Pa'amayim bi'ava, twice with love. Shema omrim. They say Shema. We say to Hashem, all week we describe that we're going to do what they did in the heavens, because that's the best we can do. That's what Yeshaya and Yechezkel gave us a hint of what's going on up there. So we sanctify your name in their fashion. What could be better than that? There's no way better than that. Except there is something better than that. Turn away from that heavenly description and look down here at what those of us who have temptations and urges and yet sanctify your name. Look at what we say. Turn away from that place and look down in compassion to the ones who declare your oneness every day twice. And they say Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That Shema is higher than Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. It's higher than Baruch Shem Kivod. Excuse me, Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimkomo. It's the highest thing that we who have temptations, that we declare God. It's easy for an angel to declare God. After all, he's not tempted by the physical world. But Yisrael is even higher than that. That means that we're living up to our Adameh. We're living up to our overcoming temptation to be great. And we do that on Shabbos because Shabbos is a lot higher. On Yom Kippur, every one of the prayers has this. Because although Shabbos is higher than Yom Kippur, but on Yom Kippur, we are more angelic than the angels. So we are overcoming our physical temptations even more. We're completely separated. Separated. Right? We're completely separated from the physical realm. So in Yom Kippur, every prayer can include Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Very big. This is hugely huge. Okay, this is so big what's going on here. And that's... Then it ends. How does it end? It ends with a verse that is from Tehillim. Yimloch Hashem lo'olam l'kayich tzion l'dor v'dor haldiyah. Hashem will last forever. He'll rule forever. God of Zion from generation to generation. I want to tell you that in our modern times, there are certain phrases that have been borrowed by just about every Jewish organization, regardless of what they're trying to promote, to clothe it in Jewish terms. They borrow certain phrases, okay? And none more than Lador Vador. If there's a poker game between fathers and sons, they call it Lador Vador, okay? Whatever it is, as long as there's grandparents there, it's Lador Vador, even if it's, you know, it's the Lador Vador, festival, because we're going skeet shooting. Lador Vador. Okay, fine. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying it's borrowed. You will find that wherever this phrase is actually used, it's describing the sovereignty of Hashem. That's what it means to be a Jew Lador Vador, to give over from generation to generation the sovereignty of Hashem over the world. So this is really the closing statement to some measure of Kedusha and of this opening three paragraphs of the Shemoneh Esrei. That from beginning to end of time, our responsibility is to give over from one generation to the next. Yimloch Hashem le'olam. That Hashem is the ruler of the world. And wherever you find this, Lador Vador Hamlichu Lakel, there's a phrase in Ashrei, Lador Vador Nagid God Lecha is in the Kedusha. Every place that it actually says it, it's talking about giving over from one generation to another, the essence of what it means. And the essence of what it means is to be these kedoshim, these separate ones who serve Hashem. So in summary, Atah Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh means that there's a oneness to Hashem. The oneness is that same oneness as Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It all comes together. It's expressed in Yaakov's essence. It's expressed in as I said before, Vayikra is when we bring together all the physical, these animalistic urges and put them on the Mizbeach. And we already explored that in the Adameh essence and how man lives up to his essence by bringing the physical towards the service of Hashem. And although someday we'll have the total clarity, every day we testify that it is true, that his essence and his expression are really this very same thing, and we and the angels are the ones who sanctify this because we too have an essence that's separate from the world. And we, when we live up to what our vocation, our station, we're even higher than angels. So on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, we say to Hashem, turn away from that very lofty praise. but get an even loftier praise, which is, Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Okay, we will stop here.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.